Freeform Radio is back in the air on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter under FFR Podcast. Remember to send questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. And again, this is Andy, who is kind of messed up this reading, maybe not.
My name is Daniel.
And we're back in another, I guess it's the start of spring or summer. I don't really know yet.
But, it's nice and sunny, at least.
Just a little chilly. We are back and ready to make your ears bleed. And,
oh, shit.
So what's going on, Danny? What do you got in the world of Danny right now?
It's been kind of quiet, man. Just, you know, we got like some really nice 70-degree weather, and then lo and behold, here comes some Chicago weather, and it got cool again. So, you know, kind of hibernating back in house, just chilling out, vegging out. Just because when it was 70, man, we went out and we started walking and, like, let's go fix the yard. Let's go, you know, catch up on all this lawn work. Yeah, like the backyard, you know, cut all the shrubs and whatnot. So it was definitely something where, like, I think we overexerted ourselves to where we're like, man, we need a chill out week. So it kind of worked out that it got kind of cool. So,
man, I'm tired.
Just hanging out at the house, yeah.
But if you weren't tired, you still would have had that beer.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I bought some of those summer shanties, man, because they were good, man. Yeah, because they only come out during the summer and the spring weather. And it's good, man. I had one at a friend's party that I went to once. I never had drank one before. And, it's actually pretty good. So whenever they come out, I do buy, like, a case, and I just sprinkle them in through my regular Coors Light consumption.
If you ever go out to restaurants, ask for the Boston Lager on draft, their summer ale one.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good. The Lewin Cougar, whatever the other one is, Shandy. I don't know if I'm imagining they do have that on draft. I just don't know where.
Yeah, I know Alana likes that Boston Lager, and sometimes I buy that variety pack because you get like two beers of each.
Yeah, there's like a lot of different ones.
Yeah, because I know she likes those, and they got a couple other good flavors in there too. But yeah, man, just kind of vegging out at home. Watched a couple movies.
What'd you watch?
Actually watched a classic that, you know, it's a kind of classic for my age group, but I've never watched.
Old man.
Yeah.
Wait, is it in black and white?
No, it's not that. Oh, it's not Citizen Kane. Yeah, not
that's
that old.
That's a classic there.
But it's Goonies.
Okay, that is a classic.
I've never, or at least I don't recall. My memory does not recall me watching it from start to finish ever. Unless it happened and it just wasn't memorable that I just don't remember.
No, I remember that movie.
But I do remember a lot of pieces of it. And so rewatching it again was definitely different because I'm older now. I imagine the last time I watched it, I was probably preteens, something around that age.
Growing up, I remember growing up, it was always on cable.
Yeah.
That's where I watched the most of it. And then, like, it disappeared. And then on our TV network, Freeform, I know they air it a lot. For all you people who still have cable, they air it a lot. I know TNT and TBS used to run it a lot, too. But I've never seen, like, we never rented it or anything like that. So I've never seen, like, the movie.
The official release,
like,
and
yeah,
not
I've
the
seen
TBS
it,
cut.
I've seen the TV edit ones. And, I never bought it on DVD or Blu-ray or anything like that. So I've never seen, like, a full theatrical cut, I guess.
Yeah, this was a download that I did. And so I imagine it's the uncut version or whatever DVD version. So
where Chunk is there, he's like ripped and shit.
Yeah. I watched it with Junior and Alana, and I was kind of hoping, like, yeah, man, I hope it's as good as I remember it being. And then maybe Junior will kind of dig it too. So end up popping it in, watched it. And even for me, it was kind of difficult at times. The nostalgia was there. The parts where the kids ride bikes.
It's a good fuck. I mean, it's a kids movie.
No, yeah. I mean, Junior definitely didn't like, oh, this movie sucks, and kind of start, you know, gazing to his tablet and watching it.
The Asian kid with his tech toys and shit. And
I gotta admit, compared to maybe some other movies that. You can totally tell that Junior's just not into this.
Pirate ship,
this did held some of his intrigue, but it wasn't something like, you know, like the stuff that he likes. So he did watch it. I could tell that he didn't dig it too big time, but he did end up watching it and give it at least its minute to soak in. But yeah, man, it's to me, at least personally to me, the parts that I felt were like the bike riding. That was a big part of my childhood, was just riding your bike everywhere, just getting into like little adventures, and just the world was yours, man, when you're that age, and just jump on your bike and you could ride anywhere you want. Anywhere your legs could take you, you can go and do it.
You had to share one Coke between four guys and shit.
Yeah, yeah. It depends whose house you go to, yeah, for sure. But yeah, man, Goonies, it was okay. It was okay. It wasn't the great masterpiece that I recall it being. And sometimes I hate watching these old movies like that because they do hold a special part, you know, in my life. And rewatching them now at an older age, sometimes they don't live up, and you try your hardest to really love it as much as you did when you were a kid. Well, and it's just not
kid,
as good.
Yeah, you had a different view on things than you do as an adult, because when you're an adult, you got some what I call like life miles on you, so you look at things a lot of things differently. Hopefully not as cynical as maybe I would be, but you have just a different perspective on everything. And when you're a kid, I don't know about today's kids, but back when it was like really black and white, it was right and wrong. And today, you talk to some kids and they're like, they're just different. But movies kind of, they reflect that too, today's movies. That's why Goonies and like 80s movies, even the action movies, there's bad people and there's good guys. And it was pretty simple. There's no middle guy like you see a lot of today's movies. But, you know, it just the Goonies, what I remember, there's the mom and the two guys trying to take like that treasure map or some, they fucking found something, and then they kids find it, and then they go find a fucking treasure.
Yeah, they're living like in Rhode Island, I think. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And the somebody's guy, yeah, somebody's foreclosing on their
that's like, right,
on the lakefront property. Yeah, or whatever that is there, that lake. So they're foreclosing on a bunch of houses, so they run across, they stumble across the dad's old treasure maps, that because he's like some kind of like a antiquity guy. He collects all these antique stuff. And so they run across it and they start exploring, and they're like, oh shit, let's go find this treasure and we can save, you know, all this lakefront property that's being foreclosed by this evil corporation, right, trying to take over. So that's really where the movie starts taking off, and they start getting into their adventure.
That's what I'm saying. It's there's a bad guy and a good guy, and dang, I'm just thinking about that movie's like 30 fucking plus years old, so it's up there in age. And I'm thinking about those 80s movies, like you think about it now, they're like starting to be 30 plus years.
Yeah. I mean, even cinematography, what do they call that?
Cinematography.
Yeah, it looks, you know, half decent.
Well, you know who directed that, right?
Wasn't it Spielberg or
no? Richard Donner.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, Superman, yeah. And Batman. I remember when I saw it, I'm like, oh shit, this is a Superman 2 guy. Mm. I'm like, oh sweet. I dug it. I think it still holds up okay. It's just that I had it on this super pedestal, and rewatching it, it kind of brought it down a peg.
Damn, cold, man.
Well, I'm just being honest. I mean, I just thought it was like this great movie. It is a good movie, but it ain't a great movie, or at least not rewatching it.
Not the best movie ever, man.
No. And then I think it's just that I'm older, and because
you mean old man. Get off my lawn, you damn kids.
I see all these like plot points and these plot holes.
It's
and
a popcorn flick for kids.
And I'm like analyzing everything, and then I'm just like, oh man, how could this go? You can't do that.
I hate to see what you think. You rewatch like Indiana Jones or something.
Yeah.
Like, how'd you feel? Like, I don't know, when's the last time you watched it? Be like, man, it's fucking dumb.
Yeah, the last one I watched was the one where they're eating the monkey brains. Which one is that one?
Man, but how long ago? Yeah, it's the second one.
Yeah. It was actually like maybe 2-3 months ago that I watched it. It was still good. I still dig it. I thought that chick was hot, that blonde girl.
Yeah, that was Spielberg's wife, right?
Oh, yeah. That was his wife in real life. Oh, wow.
That's the reason she got in the movie.
But yeah, man. Goonies, it's a good movie. I don't want to crap too much on it. I just, it's just different, man. Different watching it at this older age. Another
one. What did Lana think?
She dug it. I mean, it was a good, like, family movie, like you said, a good kids, older teen kids movie where you kind of see it. I just think it's kind of dated, because, you know, kids just don't do that kind of stuff anymore, at least not that I think of.
They ain't around trying to find treasures and shit.
Yeah.
I recommend, since you're from the 80s, give Junior the 80s family movie, go move to the 90s, give him, like, Free Willy or something. See if that fucking whale would inspire him.
Yeah.
See what his thought as a 90s family movies.
I haven't thought about grabbing that movie, but yeah, that was an older movie, too.
That thing made that was like a trilogy, dude.
Yeah,
I'm surprised they haven't come back and like, we need to remake this. Like, they remake everything now, like Free Willy, and so yeah, you should show him that just to be. I want to hear his thoughts. That you like, man, it's boring.
I mean, he likes those kids movies because I mean, we got into the Netflix Stranger Things. And he surprisingly he really dug that. He liked that dynamic.
That's what I'm saying. That Stranger Things
is the modern Goonies.
But it's based off of Goonies, those 80s movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why we watch Goonies. And I was thinking, since he likes Stranger Things, he's going to like Goonies. But I just thought, you know, he was going to dig it. And, you know, rewatching it, it was kind of like, you could kind of tell he wasn't really super into it. But he right. loves Stranger Things. I don't know if it's that it's more modern, maybe. I don't know if the spookiness of it really intrigued him. And where these fake bad guys where, you know, hey, we're going to get you kids, but they never really do anything. And there's really no, you know, no threat, you know, other than them just screaming and barking. There's really no threat for them to get hurt.
No hijinks.
Yeah. But really quick, another old movie that we watched together just recently, too, was E.T.
Yeah. What would he think of E.T.? Did he you watch it with you guys?
Yeah. We watched it together. Nah, he didn't cry, but
was he like this ain't shit? Then?
It was no, actually that one probably I could tell that he liked that one a little bit better than the Goonies movie, just because he was really like the whole time, like anytime there was like a little plot twist, you know, like when it's just like, oh, the alien is a good guy. He would pop for him. He'd be like, Daddy, so the alien's good. He's a good alien. And I'm like, buddy, you got to watch. But yeah, it looks like he's a good guy.
Be careful for that finger.
Yeah. And so every time there was like one of those big scenes, like the finger thing where the bike is flying and whatnot, he would pop and he'd be like, oh, wow, Daddy, look at that. His bike is flying. And, you know, so he kind of dug it. He dug it, like, I thought, a lot more than Goonies.
You're like, let's play this awesome video game on the Atari.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me ask you this: did do you know how Spielberg reshot it instead of he got rid of guns and put the walkie-talkies? Did you notice that?
I mentioned it to Alana because I was aware of that, and I told her once we started getting up to that scene,
right.
where they're running away, and the bikes are gonna they intersect like a blockade that the right. police set right. up, and I told her, I'm like, this is the famous part where. They replaced the guns with walkie-talkies. And then she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, they reshot this thing and they like CGI'd all like the shotguns and the rifles or whatever. And they replaced them with walkie-talkies. And she's I'm like, I wonder what version we downloaded here. I'm not sure which one it is. And when we watched it, sure enough, it was the shotguns and the rifles. So I'm like, oh, this is the pre-edited version, but there's an edited version.
There's one scene where I think they have, I don't remember. I don't know if it's a whole scene or just like a couple of people got the guns replaced, but I don't remember. And the internet made kind of a big stink about it, but I think movies do it now so much that no one really notices. I remember watching a movie in the theater, the one where the movie where Wesley Snipes escapes, they did Fugitive 2. You know, they did Fugitive with like Harrison Ford and did so much money and made a sequel.
Okay.
And he escapes from the prison. And I remember seeing it in the theater.
Is he after a one-armed guy too? Or?
No, he's after a black man.
With two arms?
With two arms and knows karate. But what was weird when I was growing up that he was in the movie, he was dating a white woman, and it was just like, huh. And I was just a kid, like, ooh, interracial. This is
taboo.
Taboo, you know. But anyways, so he escapes from the prison, or something flips over, and then they have the state police. He's down south, and they have a blockade. They're looking for him, and then the sheriff goes up to this trailer, a truck driver. He goes, puts a picture of Wesley Snipes, and goes, "Have you seen this N-word?" Like, holy shit! Like that. Blunt in your face. And I was like, damn, man, they're rough in this movie. And then I remember when we rented it, my dad wanted to see it, or my mom, we rented it, and I was looking forward to that scene to see how they came up to it. They edited that out from the home theater release,
the complete scene. They cut it out.
Yeah, they just like, yeah, have you seen this, you know, N-word in the theater? It just like, you see them. And then they just, the truck drives right by, and I'm just like, oh shit, like they completely, like maybe they got some feedback. They did feedback. A RoboCop, yeah. On it. Yeah, well, I don't know, what RoboCop is that?
Well, RoboCop 1, they cut like, you know, like a quarter of the movie out because it was so bloody and gory that, oh, yeah, if, yeah, yeah. That if you rewatch suppose it,
yeah.
If you rewatch the DVD, it's like a totally different movie.
I heard, now I know what you're talking about, they did, I think the Criterion version, they released a DVD, mm-hmm. And it's like, it's even more like unrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a scene where they're killing RoboCop. I was just fucking blood where they, everywhere.
They're killing Alex Murphy, yeah. At the start, and it's like a drawn out five yeah. Minutes of him just getting shot over and over again.
Shit flying off, and there's yep. Blood, and he's like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Red's like, yeah, motherfucker. And the other guy's like, I was just like, holy shit, man. Like, this is like a kid's, like, we as kids watch this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't remember, like, I was just like, holy shit, man, this is fucking fucked up.
Yeah, like that TBS cut is like totally censored big time to where it's still kind of action goriness, but it's definitely not over the top like the DVD.
All I know is they left the best scene is where the guy's doing yeah, you off a girl's boobs, the hooker's boobs.
Yeah.
And when Red busts in the door, he's like, bitches, leave. And then just leave. Like, that's that right there, you should have gotten an Oscar, man. He just walks in. He's like, bitches, leave. And they just get up and run away. Like, that man had so much control. That scene, it just, it spoke to me, man. Like, he dominated the room with his presence.
Yeah, no, that's a good DVD. I actually bought the DVD just to check out the unrated. Because, like you said, it's like those kind of movies that you always see on TBS. So you never really see, like, the DVD release, like you were mentioning with Goonies. So, yeah, it's a totally different movie when you watch it in DVD.
Like Roadhouse 2, like real quick, I watched that forever. It was on cable, and I bought the DVD because it had a Kevin Smith commentary. So I saw the theatrical cut. Holy shit, there's a lot of boobs and sex and cursing in that movie. It's like, I never even knew about that version because I always watched it on cable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that, you know, it's just sometimes you just got to get that home video release.
But yeah, man. So we watched a couple of those movies with Junior and. For the most part,
RoboCop 2?
Nah.
What about RoboCop, the TV series?
No, actually, I did watch RoboCop 2 with him. Or at least he just sneaked in for the ending while I was watching it. And he was kind of unknowing of who RoboCop was, because when he jumped onto that robot at the end, he was just like...
Oh, that was a corny scene.
Yeah. He's like, who is that, Daddy? And I'm like, buddy, this is RoboCop. What are you talking about? You don't know who this is? And he's just like, oh, I think I've seen him before. I don't know who he was. I'm like, yeah, man, it's RoboCop, man. I'm like, he's a robot and a police officer at the same time. And he's just like, okay. And he just ran off.
The best scene, real, I'm thinking about it now, where they're in that boardroom, they're displaying that freaking Tyrannosaurus Rex fucking cop. He's like, freeze, you're under arrest. I'm like, oh, shit, man, we got a glitch. He's yeah. Like, help me. He's like, freeze, you have 5 seconds or lethal yeah. Action. He's like, help me, man. He just pushes him off. Like, get away from me, dude. And they're just like, the thing blasts them and stuff.
Yeah, it's the end of part yeah. One. That's a great scene, yeah. Too. But yeah, man, I watched those movies, and I also watched this other one that I didn't think was going to be so heavenly, like Christian or that religious belief really into the movie, was Hacksaw Ridge.
That's the guy that doesn't want to carry a gun in World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, the second Spider-Man. Yeah. And yeah, man, it was actually a pretty good movie. I don't know how much they over-dramatize it or how much of it is really like that's the way it happened. But man, you know, not to get too spoily, but towards the end of the movie, he just keeps going back to pick up these wounded soldiers because the skirmishes is over. The Americans retreat back to their like bunker or whatever, and so the invading forces is pushing forward and they're killing everybody that they run across on the battlefield. They run across you know, somebody that's still alive and they'll shoot them.
Is it Germans or Japanese?
It's like Japanese.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know the Japs. I know they were brutal, but damn.
Yeah, because they got their underground bunkers and there was some samurais down there. They had their samurai swords and shit. So it was kind of cool. But yeah, so this character from Hacksaw Ridge, I forget his name, but the main protagonist or the main guy in the movie, he just keeps going back for soldiers. He keeps going back and he'll hear people like, help, help. So he'll run to them, give them medical aid, and then drag them or carry them back to the safe zone so that they could extract them. And he does this over and over and over again. And he brought back, I forgot how many, but something like 50 soldiers back to right. safety and helping them out. So it was crazy because the whole platoon had retreated. So he was the only one out there. It wasn't like he had cover or like a sniper helping him out. Nah, he was just out there by himself, just sneaking around the enemy, trying to find as many people as he could.
Right.
But, that's towards the end of the movie, but at the start, like you mentioned, he has a hard time because the army wants him to carry a firearm, and he doesn't want to carry one because he says it's against his religious beliefs. So it's a whole battle between the court system and the army, and him as, you know, not willing to carry a right. firearm. So it was a pretty cool movie. You know, I consider myself religious as well, but I don't think I would have that hard of a time to pick up a firearm if right. I was in the army. But this guy's beliefs were so strong that he's just like, you know, all I need is my Bible and I don't need a gun. He's like, anyways, I'm not there to kill. I'm there to save lives.
So what they put him like is like a doctor, infirmary,
yeah.
like medical?
Yeah, he's a part of the medical, you know, platoon or whatever right, it right. is. So... he's just going out there providing medical service to all the wounded people. So it was pretty cool, man. Pretty cool how he got around a lot of things, considering everybody there has got a gun and trying to kill each other. So to be the only one running around without a gun. Again, I don't know how much of it was just, you know, cinema. Like, yeah, for the movie, make it look all dramatic, but... there was different ways that he got around not having a gun. And I believe the director is Mel Gibson as well for that movie. So it kind of explains a little bit because I know
he
Mel.
Did he have a cameo?
No, I didn't see him unless he was like in the back room somewhere
like
that I didn't see him.
Guy in the back?
Like, no.
Yeah. Führer.
But no, man, it was a pretty good movie. I actually recommend it. I didn't really know too much or had heard too much about it. So... when I downloaded it, it just looked kind of cool, like another war movie.
Yeah.
So I checked it out, and after the movie was over, I was actually quite surprised on how well the movie was, and I enjoyed it, and so did Alana as well.
I think the actor's name is Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah,
he did. I remember him from the Social Network, which he was a pretty good. He's a good actor. He played one of the guys that founded Facebook, and then he did another movie about the home foreclosures and how that like the system is kind of fucked up. And that's like a little movie that no one talked about. I highly recommend it. I believe it's called 99 Homes. And he talks about how this, like during the recession, people would lose their homes, and he was trying to buy them out, and he lost his house, and it's that's another like little movie which he did a really great job. I highly recommend. I know I heard about this one. I know he was in it, but I was just like, eh. Kind of like World War II out, man. Because there was a period where I watched like just everything with World War II, and I got kind of just tired of it right now.
Yeah, no, this it was pretty cool. I recommend it for any of you history buffs out there or anybody that's into these World War II movies. It was actually a pretty good movie with not so much the World War II part is in the movie. This is more like the back undertones of stuff that's going on in the background. So the army is just like a background piece, and it's not did really the paint, whole movie.
In the movie, did they paint him as like some Christian nut or something? Or
towards the start, yeah, when they were doing the whole trial thing.
Did he
thing.
Volunteer or did he draft it?
He volunteered because his whole town, people were starting to get drafted or volunteering. So he was one of the last guys there. And I forget what the triggering thing was, but something happened, some event happened where he felt like, you know, I can't, you know, stay here and let everybody else fight our battle. I got to go out there and pull my weight. So he decides to volunteer, and that comes up in the trial. He says, like, why did you volunteer if you weren't going to pick up a gun? And he says something like, yeah, I told the recruiter, and the recruiter told me, don't worry, you won't have to pick up a gun if you don't want one. So, you know, that kind of goes into it where they battle back and forth as to what the recruiter said. And it got pretty cool, man. It got really good. Kind of a couple stereotypes where, like, the drunk dad and the mom that's really submissive, and the brother that's kind of like the athlete and goes off to the army before him and whatnot. So there's a couple
he's
like
boring.
Yeah. He's kind of like the good old boy and just doing his farm work and whatnot. So kind of like some of the basic tropes in movies, but it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Family man, I just want to work my land.
Yep.
And I'm down with Jesus.
But as for you, man, what you've been up to? I heard you watched your own old school movie, Mad Men, and you finally finished watching that season.
I finished watching I picked it up because all the episodes were on Netflix. I started binge watching them the last couple months, and I finished watching season 6. I finished watching about a week and a half ago, and I started watching season 7, and the ending was just like, eh. Like Don Draper, that character, like the last two seasons, they talk a lot about the war and like Vietnam, and then everybody's growing up, all the characters. It's like just like all the previous seasons, they're just like, oh, we're gonna get bought out, let's sell out, let's do this, and they're all unhappy, so they're gonna do their own thing. And then, remember, this is the age, this is now, it's 1970, and they went through all the whole late, you know, early 60s, late 60s. And then there's this scene in the final episode where Draper, like, he left the company because they got bought out and he was unhappy. He went to, like, this meeting. They're like, oh, you're going to be, we got Miller Beer. Like, we bought out this company, the advertising people in Milwaukee, so now we got Miller Beer. I want you to lead, you know, I want you to be a part of it. There's going to be a meeting. So he goes to the meeting. And like, remember, this is like a huge company now because it just got absorbed. And there's like all these people there. And he's just like, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm like, I'm insignificant. That's the feeling I got from it. So he just fucking walks out. And he takes like this journey where he's in California. And he's just like going around town, like town to town, just doing whatever the fuck he wants. And then during that, he finds out that his ex-wife has cancer and is dying. And this is the only weird part I didn't get from that. She's like, I want the kids to be raised by my brother and sister. He goes, no, I'm going to raise our children. She's like, no, we need everything to be normal. Like, they see you like twice or three times a week. I don't want that to change. And he's
wow,
like,
so the ex-wife saw him as weird or different or some type of trait inside of him,
like,
that...
Like, it's time for him. Like, I would take it like, yeah, dude, like, you're the way you live is going to change now. Like, you can't be selfish, right? And then she's like, no. She's like letting him, like, don't worry about it. And then he took heart to accept that. Even his daughter told him, who's the older one, like, dad, they need to be normal. They need to be here. You're not, we don't want to move, you know, they shouldn't be moved. And he just had a hard time accepting that. And then he goes to California and he sees some people, and he goes to like this hippie retreat thing. And there's a scene, they're having like a group talk, and there was this one guy, his name is Leonard. It was just fucking weird. I know it was a symbol for something. He's talking about ordinary life, like what we fucking talk about, like that he feels like just like he hasn't accomplished shit, and he's married, he has kids, he goes to work, comes back, he eats dinner, he's TV, he's like, my kids don't even look at me when they talk to me. He just started fucking crying. He just started sobbing. I'm just like, oh, okay. And then Don's there, and he goes up and he hugs him. And then they both start crying. And I'm just like, okay. So obviously Don feels some empathy or sympathy for this guy. And the next scene, he's there in like some yoga shit humming. And he smiles. And then the scene ends. And then the next scene is a Coca-Cola commercial from like the 70s, like this world famous Coca-Cola commercial. I'm like, okay, so that means he went back. It just, you don't know what happens. He went back to the company, and that's how the show ends.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, to me that meant he went back, because one of the things when they first joined or got absorbed by this other company, he's like, Don, you're going to work on Coca-Cola. And he's just there like, yeah. And then, so that means to me that he went back.
Or maybe it means that he thought of himself so much the center of the world or the center of this company that even though he left, the company kept going forward and actually still made something of itself. It got bought out.
Like the leading up to that, there's a lot of shit that happened, but I think he felt like he was so important. Like he doesn't want to be the cog, the little cog in a big machine. Like he wants to fucking be the machine. He wants people making him work. He don't want to make that big machine work. So he looked at us like being, to me, like he was insignificant. Because he was, to me, that character was, he was smart, intelligent, but he had issues where, like, he was fucking selfish as fuck, even when it came to the kids. And when he didn't take anything, the only thing he took seriously was his job. His family, he got remarried, that ended in divorce, and he was just like, it was a part of his life, but that wasn't what he focused his energies on. He focused on his job and, like, fucking screwing around, drinking, like, living up that lifestyle.
Well, that's why I'm saying that maybe that self-centeredness was the theme of the movie, and finally finally that he zened himself out in this monk, whatever, that maybe the Coca-Cola commercial is trying to show you that yes, it's not good to be self-centered, because look, this company kept going on and Coca-Cola is still a huge company. So even though you think you're irreplaceable or this huge cog in this big machine, really the machine will keep moving even without you, because it'll find a replacement or it'll keep moving. So that you shouldn't be so self-centered. Well,
that's what I'm saying, that whole scene leading up to there, it's like an end of an era, because that whole cast of characters they're already like in their own bubble. Even when the 60s, like all this shit was going on, they were just there. Like, we're people who fought in World War II. We came back. We're successful. We have money. And, like, they were living in this own fucking bubble, and the rest of the world is changing. And they're like, we ain't fucking changing. Fuck that. And then now it came to a point where, like, we have to change ourselves and, like, grow up a little. And that's why, like, when the 70s came, I think they just kind of said, like, yeah, we got to change. And, like, one of the characters went back with his wife. One of the other characters remarried a woman that's, like, his age, because he was just fucking around and he was having his hippie shit. And women got a little bit more empowered, and it goes from there. But the episode, I mean, I think I got closure on it. I wish it would have ended differently, but yeah, it's all right.
So what would have been your perfect ending for that show?
To me, if he would have had his own company and like his kids were there, I was kind of like disappointed. Like, he accepted, like, I'm not going to, like, I'm going to be part of my kid's life, but I'm not going to be like day-to-day shit. And like, I found that like very hard. Like, why the fuck wouldn't he fight for that? And even his ex-wife's like, no, you're not, don't do that. Like, we need them to continue normal, like how it's been. We can't have a big change. And I'm just like, they're his fucking kids, dude. Like, why wouldn't the fuck they want to be with them?
Well, maybe that's
even because the mom is dying. She's sick.
Maybe it's a better part of the movie or the show showing you that the guy learned from his life experience and decided that even though, like you said, it's, or at least in my human nature, to want to be with my son, if somebody explains to me that, yeah, even though this is your want, it's not good for your son to be next to you, then that would be a tough lesson for me to learn. And maybe he learned it. And so instead of him being selfish and be like, well, I need my son to fill this need in me to be next to me and for him to be raised by me, I'm going to let him go and become a background image for my son, because that's the best dad that I can be instead of being in the forefront and then being a bad influence to my son. So maybe it was to show you that the character evolved and now he learned to not be the center of his son's universe and instead just be a supporting character to it.
To me, it didn't make sense. It just, that aspect, because even his family, the way he was raised was kind of fucked up, but they get into that in the last couple of seasons. But, yeah, man, I recommend that show. It kind of there was like season like 2, 3, and 4 where like that shit was the best that show was gonna get, and then after that I stopped watching it because it kind of like, man, this is fucking boring. And then the last two seasons, season 6 was all right. 7, they were just like, you could tell they were just finishing shit up. They were bringing in people and like they were done, and like the world was changing and shit because they were like New York. New York, everything was focused New York, and then they started going out to California, and like TV was getting to be the shit, and like we gotta stop worrying about print ads and start focusing on TV.
Yeah, I watched like a couple episodes of the first season, and I thought it was pretty cool, but for whatever reason, I just stopped watching it. I just watched like 2 or 3 episodes, and I never went back. And to be honest, the way people kind of crap the middle of it, how the middle kind of loses its focus, it's never made me curious to go and check it out.
Like I said, I like that show because it resonates to me how some of the upbringing, like family value shit, like you see it, like I saw that growing up. And like there's on the first season, there's an episode where they're having like a family birthday party and she sends Don to go get like a cake, and he just gets in his car and he looks back like, fuck this, like I'm not doing any of this. He goes, gets the cake, and then he just goes to a park and just starts drinking in the car. And they're like, where is he? Nobody knows where he's at. And I'm just like, wow, what would, like, imagine that. You just go somewhere and nobody knows where the hell you're at. Like, no one, no social network, no cell phones, no beepers. It's just, you're just there doing what the hell you want and no one to bother you.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something from the old times that like these will kids never will come back.
Never know that. Like today, if someone isn't tweeting in a day, they're like, man, what's going on? What's wrong with you? Or
yeah,
they can get a hold of you through texting or phone call or email, and people start fucking panicking.
Yeah, not to get really too much into it, but I was watching this like old Japanese 1970s thing too, and everybody was wearing suits, and even the background characters, they were all well dressed, and it wasn't like these people were like super executives. They were just normal people just walking around in suits. And I told Alana, I'm like, man, I wish I would have grown up in that era. That would have been cool, where everybody dressed to the nines and look good and presentable. Instead of nowadays, people walking down the streets with their jeans half their off their ass, and it's just like a different era, a different time.
Well, that sound like no man, but it's just something to do with society. How, I mean, as much as people don't want to hear that, it's fucking values, you know, and social etiquette. And that's just a reflection of society, of what is expected of people. As much as you know, today people don't give a fuck what everybody says. It's just like, well, back in the day, there was something that was expected of you. If you walk into someone's house, if you're a consumer, if you're making a phone call, you complain. In the way you complain, there was a procedure on how to do it to get what you wanted. Today, people just fucking bitch and bitch and bitch, and it's just a reflection on society. How, you know, today is just more of me, and I do what the fuck I want.
Nah, for sure, man. Well, hopefully something that'll fix it, Andy, is this fidget spinner that you were talking about, man. How is that gonna be the cure for
what ails me?
Yeah, for society nowadays. Not
usually beer does that. Yeah, I don't know, man. I see these fucking videos, and I go 2 weeks ago, I was at a 7-Eleven getting my big gulp, and there's fucking kids. There's the 7-Eleven clerk. And you know, stereotypical, not to sound racist, an Indian guy, and the kids are like, oh, you got more spinners? Oh, hold on, my friend. And he brings out these two boxes of like cases of these fidget spinners, and these fucking kids started ripping up that box, dude. They bought like three of them. It was like $20+.
Yeah.
And people were coming in and they're just buying them, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? I think I asked you about it a couple of weeks ago. I saw the square one. But I see everybody doing the spin one.
Yeah.
All the kids are going fucking nuts for this.
Yeah, I bought my son one like 2 weeks ago on Amazon, and he plays with it all the time now.
And then, yeah, so I went to work, and the guy I work with had one. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? This shit's banned, dude. You can't have this at work. What? He's just there like spinning it and spinning like fucking kids. And then I go to my fiance's house, and her nephew's in there, and they're fucking spinning the shit out of it. And one of them, she's like, this one sucks. I'm like, it makes noises or something. So, this is the first time I actually got to look at one and, like, study it. I'm like, it's just fucking bearings.
Yeah.
And, like, in a molded plastic piece with weights on the end of it. But this is, like, another roller bearing at the end. And she's like, it's really loud. And I'm like, well, it just needs to get lubricated. I get some WD-40. We spray it on there. That thing was dancing. And she's like, oh, shit. And she started going nuts on it. And then my fiance's like, I want one. I'm like, are you serious? And then they were there just like, oh, maybe we could see if they could call. Could you call Walgreens, see if they have it? They called, like, some places. Like, that's how bad they want. I'm like, man, I go to the one by my house, the Indian guy in the corner has them there. He just saw them like crazy. And she's like, can you get me one? I'm like, all right, I'll buy you one. So I bought two on Amazon. They came in this morning, actually, and I started playing with them. I'm like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. I'm just like, they're like fucking trying to do all this stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, this is boring. And I got in there for 15 minutes, and I just tossed it. Like, yeah, I think I had my fun. There's $10 down the drain.
Yeah, I ended up buying Junior a glow-in-the-dark one because he wanted one so he could spin in the dark or whatever. But it's like you said, at least for me, I 5 minutes and I've done about everything I can do with that spinner. So Junior continues to play with it. I don't know if it's something that in another week or two I'm just gonna find on the floor somewhere.
Probably. Did you open it up the middle?
Yeah, it's just a roller bearing.
It's a roller freaking bearing, dude.
Like, I popped it open to show it to him, and he was actually amazed. He was just like, what? There's circles in here? Because, you know, there's like those little marbles, spheres.
Yeah.
And I told him, yeah, those are little roller bearings, and it's rolling on that surface, and that's what lets it spin. And since if it's lubricated, like you mentioned, it'll spin for a good 5 minutes because it doesn't have much friction to stop it.
That's why I was telling her, like, well, I think WD-40 is good, but like if you get like her grandfather's like, oh, I could put oil on there. Like, let's put olive oil. I'm like, I don't know if you want to put olive oil. It'll work for a little bit, but like this needs, if you put like a good motor oil, some 5W-30, I think too, that thing be there forever just spinning.
Yeah.
Cause I saw videos, people like, I'm going to make this thing spin for like 4 minutes. I'm just like, the fuck? Like, and people are there just watching these videos, and it has like thousands and thousands of views. Like, this is fucking crazy, man.
Yeah. It's just the latest fad.
And I saw a guy actually put a link, like, this is special bearing lubricator. Like, this thing will make if you put this a couple drops, your thing can spin for more than 5 minutes. I'm just like, and people were like buying that. Like, this is fucking crazy. Like, I wish I would have invented this dumb shit.
Yeah, right now the advertising point is how long it could spin.
Yeah.
If it could spin for more than 5 minutes, I've seen some that could spin for like 7 minutes without anybody touching it. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
We got some of those better badass bearings made in the USA at our job then.
I don't know, probably
you
not.
You know what it looks like? I looked at it. It looks like the roller bearing that we use on the dryer doors.
Yeah.
Literally, I think that one's just a little bit thicker. I got one in my desk, actually, because I took it as someone gave it to me when it broke off of one of the brackets. And it looks just like that one.
Yeah.
That's a made in the USA bearing, man, not these Chinese ones, you know?
Yeah, roller bearings are pretty standard in their design, so I don't know how much you're going to get more from going to one to the other.
I want an SKF one, man. The premium there you one, go, man.
Now
not
you're talking.
These China bearings that they dump the market on. I bet you this bearing costs, like, what, you think 5 cents?
Yeah.
That's how cheap that little bearing is?
Yeah, probably. But it's pretty cool, man. It's a cool new little gadget that's out there now.
That's what I said. I bought it, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, man, this is cool. And I play with it, then I'm just like, all right, man, I'm done with this. Give me my $10 back.
Speaking of 10 bucks, man, I heard you finally started getting some bills for some of those doctor ER visits.
Man, I'm in the wrong racket. I should start a podcast on deciphering medical bills. You think that'd be successful, man?
Yeah, it's actually called medical billing.
Podcast. I could break it down for you. Like, I should be able to do it and break down, like, if you get an itemized bill, like how much each medicine is and like procedure. Because my medical visit was when I went to the ER, I got the bill. I had to pay $150 out of pocket for mine. But the actual bill, the amount they billed the insurance was like $1,900 for being there for like a handful of hours. It's ridiculous. And they're telling me you might get another one from the doctor from the ER, the ER doctor or something.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't gotten that one, but I don't know. I was just like, this is a crazy amount of money.
That's you have a PPO?
Yeah, I got a PPO.
Oh, yeah. I know medical can get really expensive, especially because a lot of it is not regulated and the doctors could charge you whatever the hell they feel like it. So an aspirin could literally be $100 a pop. So
the medicine he gave me there, they charged $25 for that fucking pill. When I got, when I went to get it prescribed for like a 10 of them, you know how much it was? Like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
It was like, it's ridiculous, dude. He gave me one pill. He goes, yeah, this is the one you're going to need. They charged $24 for that pill.
Yeah, it's expensive, man.
And I was like, is this premium or is this the generic? I think it was the premium because the generic, when I asked for generic and it was a different color. Like, damn it.
Yeah, nah, man. Anything medical, if you're sick or you need to go get medicine or get treatment, and get ready to pay, man. It's expensive for sure. And that's with insurance. Without insurance, forget it, man.
Yeah,
it's
that's like what I'm saying. If you don't have, that's their discounted price, right? Imagine what if you don't have insurance, it'd probably be like $3,000, dude.
Nah, for sure, man. Those things they definitely get expensive, and you're looking to pay an arm and a leg for sure.
Right. No, yeah, I just got the bills, and then I did my follow-up visit. They did, I got the bill for that one, and that was even, they made me take a piss test. You know how much they charge for that piss test? It was like $200.
I think we could have done it for you over the counter for
just to
like
tell
10
me,
bucks.
He's like, yeah, man, you're good. And I'm like, damn, man. I was just like, I saw it, like lab result, lab test. Yeah, that lab test was $200 for me to piss in a cup and say I'm good.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, you know, because I'm thinking like, is he just covering his ass or is he just trying to make my visit there worthwhile on top of my copay?
Damn right, man. I got to get paid, man.
I guess so, man.
You think them doctors get the Mercedes by just, you know, charging you $5?
Damn Obamacare.
Don't worry, man. I heard it's out the door in a few days.
Well, they got the first step. See what happens. My babies are going to die, man. Babies weren't dying before Obamacare. They're going to die afterwards.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm not really so in tune with what's going on with the repeal. But
did you see the Jimmy Kimmel thing or no?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. I just see everybody's like, people are like, oh, yeah. And people are like, I don't know why he's doing this. Like, what did he say? Just his kid was sick and something almost happened?
Yeah, he just recently had a baby boy. And the baby, after was born, ended up finding out that it had a heart murmur.
Okay.
And so they rushed the baby off to, like, the specialist. And they're like, yeah, we can cut the baby's heart open. and poke these holes so that it could release some of the stress. And it's really all we can do for now. So he goes more into depth with it, but I guess they did this procedure, which ended up helping out. The baby's doing better, but he was showing pictures of the baby post-surgery, and you could see like that big scar down its chest and just all these tubes. And, you know, it was really heartwarming, and you know, you felt bad for the guy that, or for anybody that has to deal with something like that, especially with a child that you can't really do anything except stand there and just be like waving your hands in the air and be like, well, I need the answers. What could I do? And doctors sometimes don't have them. So I guess apparently this is like the first of, you know, maybe like two or three surgeries the baby's going to need to repair this heart issue that the baby's dealing with. So he just made mention that, you know, we need to make sure that pre-existing conditions continues to be something in the insurance, or at least in whatever type of, you know, Obamacare takes over after this. Because if that baby grows up, that heart issue is going to be a pre-existing condition. So if insurances have that clause where they could deny you, well, this kid could have an issue for the rest of his life where he's got to deal with insurance for the rest of his life.
From what I read, that's always been the big issue. It's the pre-existing conditions. But with the way it is now, I mean, anybody can get insurance now. Yeah, they repeal it, and what they put, who knows. But they do need to make a law just saying no matter what condition you have, you can't be denied insurance. They got to sell it to you. And then add it affordable, some price or something. But, yeah, I know. I don't know. I just saw everybody talking about it. I'm like, I am done with all this shit. Like, yeah. I can't keep up with this.
No, I agree, man. If anything comes out of this, I hope it is that pre-existing condition. It's tough for people out there, and some people can't afford to have insurance their whole life. So sooner or later, they're going to go out there and want insurance, and they're going to have a condition that might not be covered.
Legally, they have to have insurance.
Well, right now with Obamacare, yes, but I mean, I know in years past before Obamacare, people would wait it out and they're like, well, I'm going to, you know, roll the dice and hopefully I'm good for these next 5 years because I'm not going to get insurance and try to save some money.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there for sure. Something else that's kind of tough, Andy, is this article that we're going to jump into really quick. It looks on like an International Women's Day. This podcaster, video game guy called Colin Mariotti, on March 8th, he tweeted out, "Ah, peace and quiet, a day without a woman." Hashtag a day without a woman.
Oh, he got in trouble.
So he tweeted this out on International Women's Day, where they were having protests and marching and whatnot.
Right.
Out in the streets. And so he texts this out, you know, kind of, or tweets it out, you know, kind of just, you know, in my eyes, kind of just making fun of the situation where, you know, the women are out there and there's guys inside working or doing whatnot, and it's quiet, you know. And he got a lot of shit for it, man. He got so much shit that he decided to resign his company.
Yeah, that was the part I find kind of shocked that, like you said, the company he created with some other people, they kind of pushed him out.
Yeah, he started off, or his mainstay or start was with IGN, a video game company. They do video game reviews and whatnot. He was there. He was one of the lead columnists, lead guy running the PlayStation, in particular the PlayStation division. Three of them or four of them decided to leave IGN and start off this new company called Kinda Funny. So a lot of people didn't know if it was going to take off, this company, but man, it took off, man, especially because of Colin and one of the other guys. His name is, I forget his name now. Greg Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those guys, they were like the two famous, like the one of the top personalities in IGN. So when they left, they took a lot of their following. And when I was doing a little research, right now they have 200,000 followers on YouTube. They have 82,000 followers on Twitter and 21,000 followers on Facebook. The Kind of Funny was founded in January 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, this is how much of the popularity they've gained. Now, I just looked at these numbers just recently, so I'm kind of curious as to how many people might have dropped off because of this comment. How many people are like, oh, these sexist pigs, I'm out of here, and I'm going to unsubscribe or whatnot.
Well, the gaming community, I'm not big as into it as you are, but they are just weird. Not weird, but they have different views on a lot of things, and, you know, it all stems down to, like, whatever, especially in what I've seen in the gaming community when it comes to women, they feel like they're already like under the gun in that industry. And when people come out at them, they just, people come out in throes to just to knock you. I mean, I remember that with the female reporter that was giving reviews. And it came out she was having sex with some of the developers, and so one of the developers got pissed. They like broke up and posted like naked pictures of her, saying like she was giving favors for reviews and all this other crap. And like she went into hiding. Like people were like bashing her, like calling her a slut and all this other stuff. And people were like, well, don't come out and like. Basher, you don't know the whole story. And like then like more people came out, she's like, yeah, she's done this. And now that I was reading somewhere too, like a year ago, they were talking about making her that issue into a movie. Like,
yeah,
because she said that she was being oppressed and all this other crap. And I don't know. And then there was people defending her that she shouldn't have to explain anything to anyone. And and I read this when you told me about this, I'm like, they literally pushed. I read somewhere else that he was thinking about already about kind of leaving because he wanted to focus more on other areas like politics and so forth. Because he goes, yeah, gaming's part of my thing, but that's not what I wanted to do. It's not what it's not one of my passions or whatever. And maybe he was ready to get out. So I don't know.
Yeah, when he studied in college, he studied some type of political history or whatnot. So his degree was in something totally different, but. While he was paying off student loans, he right. started up in IGN, and he was there, you know, ever since, you know, his college days. So yeah, definitely. After all this, you know, kind of settled down, he has now started up his own podcast and his own YouTube channel called Colin's Last Stand, and where like you mentioned, he's doing more political. More historical pieces. I believe he's got like a dozen episodes by now. And yeah, man, they're actually pretty cool, man. I dug Colin more than Greg Miller.
Right.
I was a big subscriber to their podcast. I listened to some of the Kind of Funny stuff, but in particular the PlayStation podcast that they used to do. And I always found him to be a real fascinating character because he kind of didn't really give a shit about other people and their opinions. He was really true to the way he was and his values. And I think this is kind of blew up in his face right. just because he thought other people were going to do similar and not really care what he's doing and just kind of be like, damn, that's messed up, but just leave him alone. But no, man, they really came after him so much. Like we mentioned, he had to resign his company and his position. I don't know, maybe people find it as justice, you know, that, you know, he had to resign this real lucrative, you know, company because, you know, when you got those many YouTube subscribers, advertising, I know they had advertising on their podcast and on their YouTube channel, so I know they were getting paid and they were also big proprietors of Patreon. They used to get a lot of money through Patreon, so... he's even mentioned it on a few podcasts. He was on the Rubin Report. He was also on Joe Rogan's podcast.
I heard he was on Joe Rogan, yeah.
Yeah, and he talked a little bit about his money. He didn't get into details, but he mentioned that he was making way more money than an IGN, and he was very comfortable, and he could have sat on that position for, you know, the rest of his life and just made, you know, big-time gang bucks. But he decided to resign and kind of go after some of his other passions, you know,
his passions,
you know, politics and history.
Berating women then? Is that one of his passions? That's what I got from the tweet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, who doesn't like that, Andy? I mean, that's
no, I don't stand behind those comments, man.
Oh, you don't approve of this, man? Multi-billion, oh, so you're doing the Greg Miller?
This multi-billion empire right here, Dan's going to crumb on those comments, man.
Yeah, that's the other part that I find kind of shitty to this, is that Greg Miller and Colin Moriarty, they were roommates.
Yeah.
They were roommates because they were buds since IGN, and they were, you know, kind of from the get-go, they were just like best buds. They lived like together for a very long time. Yeah. Mm. And when this whole shit shake down, Greg Miller right away sent out a tweet that, you know, Kind of Funny does not support and approve of these comments and blah, blah, blah. And kind of just threw him under the bus, man. And to me, yeah, it's kind of shitty.
That was kind of weird. Like, you think he would at least, like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, I got to put this statement out. We're not cool with that shit. And, like, his friend's like, man, don't be a bitch or something. Like, but, like, the feeling I got, like, yeah, he just completely just put that out there immediately and, like, threw him under the bus. And I'm just like, maybe he's making a move to control the company. I don't know.
Yeah, from the little bit, because they've had a few, they had a comeback podcast where he came back for one show to kind of just talk about this whole situation.
To wrap it up.
Yeah, and he did kind of make mention of that ever since some convention that they went to, that he was just leaning more and more away from the gaming aspects of it.
Fanboys and nerds, man.
Well, he made mention too, which I don't know how true it is, but that, you know, the majority of gamers and the gaming industry are Democrats.
They don't shower?
Probably that too, because at least if they're like the Wizard World people.
Whoa, I'm going to start bread and butter right there, man. It's all right, guys. I'm down with you, man.
They definitely got some issues, man. Invest in some deodorant, man. It'll help out for sure. But his comments were
you
that
can send money to FFN questions.
Some of his comments were that the majority are Democrats, and him being somewhat
conservative Republican.
Yeah, I mean, even though he's got some liberal views, I mean, he's a pro-choice and other stuff like that. He's pro-gay marriage. So he does have kind of like a middle of the road view, but more towards a Republican view if you were to label him anything. And so he believes that some of that helped contribute to this, to where the majority of the gaming community, which that was probably the majority of his subscribers, you know, jumped on the bandwagon and just started crapping on him.
It's just the way Twitter is now, man. It's just they wait on somebody to fuck up or something that they agree to disagree, and they just jump on you, man. It's other podcasts have talked about this, and like just more now than ever, you know, people just they look for something, social justice warriors or whatever. They just looking to shit on people and berate them. They get off on that, you know.
The thing, Andy, that I think is really screwed up about this, or kind of compounds on top of it, is that the International Business Times website, or a newspaper, I don't know if they publish anything, they came out in one of their articles to kind of bring everybody up to speed as to what was going on. Their headline reads, Kind of Funny, Colin Moriarty resigns after targeting women in racist jokes, insist it's his personal decision. And when I read that, I was just like, holy shit, racist joke. I'm like, where in peace and quiet, hashtag a day without a woman.
Right.
What's that have to do with race? I mean, I didn't know women were a race. You know, I thought they were a sex. I didn't know that women are races.
And they're human beings, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they retracted that, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think like a week after that or a couple days after that, they ended up updating the website and removed the word racist from the joke or from the headline. But I just think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of shitty, man, how, like you said, you know, anytime you say anything on social media, get ready for it to be judged by everybody. Get ready to be thrown into the dirt if you say something that's against what the masses believe in, or at least what people out there are listening,
right,
what they believe in.
Yeah, it's just the way things are right now. You got to be careful what you say more now than ever. There's people who don't give a fuck, and there's people who just they're trolls. They're just looking to bait you, and you just got to be ready to see what you're going to say, because whatever you say, it's on there forever, and you can't delete it.
Yeah, I think you need to be really strong on your convictions on whatever you post. Don't just put that titty pic if you're not ready for the repercussions.
The guy that the Bears drafted, Trubisky, they were going through his old tweets, and one of them has said, I think he tweeted, "I like to kiss titties."
Oh, was it?
And that was like from 4 or 5 years ago, like right before I got into college. And I'm like, well, there you go, dude. Like, he probably completely forgot about that, but you get combed through them and you'll fucking find them. It's there forever.
What was the Kyle Long one? The one where he was in college? Didn't he post some rap video?
Oh, the one he was not Kyle Long. What I remember is,
wasn't it Kyle Olsen? Olsen, that's
when
right.
When he was at the U, they made a rap video about banging chicks on the floor and how he had a baby arm and stuff. So, yeah. Like, nobody thinks it's going to get out, but it always finds a way when you're famous.
For sure, man, for sure. But just to kind of wrap this all up, Andy, what do you feel about this tweet? Do you feel that it was an insulting, racist joke, or maybe not racist, but do you think it was, you know, tasteless?
For a guy running a company, you should have thought better. But I really don't know of his podcast or his company. I know you brought it up to me, and I was reading it. Like literally, the people who got and what I know about the gaming community, it doesn't shock me. They could be a little rough, but to get pushed out of his company, or I don't know if he left voluntarily, but I feel like he kind of pushed out, especially after his buddy, what he tweeted, like, you know, this is not what we think and all that. So he kind of thrown it under the bus. Maybe there was already a rift. I don't know. But to be honest, you shouldn't have done that, because you're inviting a world of problems with that tweet.
Yeah, I'd like to think that you should be able to say anything that you want to say. And freely, he did say
it. Didn't he?
I mean, he did say it.
So he's paying for that.
But now you're paying for it. So I
freedom isn't free.
Yeah, what is that from? The
South Park. It's a song.
Yeah, that's right.
Freedom cost $1.05.
No, that was from that movie they did. That wasn't from South Park.
Yeah, it was from the South Park movie.
No.
Oh, no. No. Team America.
Team America. Whatever. There you go. Yeah.
They're like, America.
I agree, man. I think once you're high up in a company or you're a public figure like that, even though I'd like to think anybody can say anything that you want, and you can, but it's going to come under the microscope of the entire world. Right. So you just got to be careful what you say and what you do. So Andy, quit saying bad stuff about comic book people.
I just say it behind people's back. That's all.
There you go.
I don't tweet about it no more.
There you go. After the mics go off, we'll talk shit about everybody.
Make sure the record button is off.
Well, speaking about going off, we're going to have to leave here for the day. We're about wrapping up, and we'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember, follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send in those questions. Let us know what you think. FFNquestions@gmail.com. Visit that webpage, man. Great place to find old episodes, to find all the links to different Stitcher, iTunes,
Spreaker,
YouTube, SoundCloud. Now SoundCloud,
YouTube,
WordPress. I mean, it's tons of things on there.
iHeart, they're still around.
freeformnetwork.podbean.com. Hit that like and subscribe button with whatever you're using. We really appreciate it. It helps the numbers out. I mean, it only takes a few minutes, and you'd be surprised how much it helps boost our numbers. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel.
Tweeting Andy.
We'd like to thank you all for listening.
Dad.